Turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 13. I'm going to be reading out of from verses 5 through 18. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram after Lot had departed from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we are in your presence and as your word will go forth, I ask for that anointing of the Spirit of God to open our hearts, open up our spiritual ears that we may hear what your Spirit will say to us this day. And Father, as I decrease, I ask that your word increases. I ask that the anointing of your Spirit will be upon this word and upon your people in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You want to be seated. You're probably wondering why I showed that video clip there. Because it illustrates the text that we're going to be looking at today. I believe that there are two fundamental styles of social interaction in our world. People have coined the terms givers and takers. Every family has one. Every friendship has one. Every workplace has one. Mark Twain once made a statement that reflects this interaction. He says, "Give one and take ten." I'm going to continue with the life of Abraham, and we're probably going to be looking at his life probably for the next probably four or five messages. But I think I need to define some terms right now, because these terms you will hear all throughout the message. So when I mentioned the term givers, I imagine in your own mind you probably already have some kind of pictures that come up, maybe people that come up. But as a definition, givers are people who are focused on other people. They tend to pay attention to the needs of other people. They tend to be generous with their lives, their time, their money, their possessions. And they tend to help people out without expecting anything back. Now you have the term takers. Now takers are usually more self-centered. They tend to get more than what they give. They tend to put their interests and their needs ahead of other people's interests or needs. They tend to have the attitude, "What is in it for me?" or "What can I get out of this?" Now when you look in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20, verse 35. If you want to turn there, there is an interesting phrase that we find only here. We don't find it in the Gospels, which you would think that you would find this phrase in the Gospel. But in verse 35, it says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, when we look at that video clip, and when Rita Miller, when she received that check for $4 million, she was receiving. But when she was told to give that money away, she didn't want to give it away, and she had a hard time giving it away. So we could say that she would probably be one to be classified more as a taker than as a giver. But when we look in that verse there in 35, when it said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, the word blessed means happy or fortunate. Now, giving as opposed to receiving is it goes countercultural. It goes against the culture of the world that we live in, and definitely goes against the culture that the world that Abraham lived in as well. So if the statement is true that Jesus said that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, then the person who gives or who is a giver is blessed and becomes more blessed as they give more. But then it's also true that the person who is a taker is less blessed as they tend to take more, and they become less blessed as they continue to take more. Now, this mindset, this attitude, this behavior that is modeled by Jesus, we saw in Acts chapter 20. But there's also a scripture in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 3 through 4, which I'm going to read for you. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." When we look at the background in Genesis chapter 13, the background is that we have Abraham, who is called Abram at the time. We have Lot. Abram is the uncle. Lot is the nephew. Now, they have lived together probably all of Lot's lives, because Lot's father was Abraham's brother. And we know that these two brothers, with their wives and their children, they lived with their father. So we have Lot, who also lived with his grandfather. So we have the whole family here. So probably known each other for a long time, and we can even see that in Genesis chapter 13, that even Lot says that we are brothers. It is a very close relationship. Now, what's really going on here in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis, we have family conflict. Now, we've looked at the family before. We have seen how conflict is inevitable in families. I bet that you and I could tell stories about conflict that our families have had, not only our immediate family, but even our extended family. You know, when I think of the word takers, I have one particular family member that comes to my mind right away. And I'm sure you probably have the same thing. But here we have family conflict. And we see that prosperity and success have caused this family to have conflict. Now, the scripture says that they have great flocks and herds. You know, I looked up the term flocks because I wanted to see, well, okay, what's the difference between flocks and herds? Well, herds, the dictionary says that it refers to four-legged animals, and flocks refers to winged animals. But then if you look at also in dictionary in its usage, you will find that the people is really anything that's kind of grouped together, because you could be considered a flock as well. They have tents. They got property. They both have people working for them and under them. Prosperity, success, and growth has now become a problem that is causing conflict in their personal relationship with one another, relationships in their business, relationships, and also in their family relationships. Now, they have tried to resolve the conflict before, but it seems that the conflicts continue. And it's come to a point that they can't ignore it anymore. Something has to be done. And so Abraham, he takes the initiative and he tells his nephew Lot, he says, look, let's just stop this quarreling among us. It's not doing anybody any good. It's doing more harm than it is good for all of us. So I tell you what, the whole land is before us. If you choose to go this way, then I'll go the other way. If you choose to go this way, then I'll go the other way. He gives him the first choice. So my first point is that Abram takes the attitude of being a giver to Lot by focusing not on his own interests, but on the interests of Lot. But then the opposite is true, where Lot takes the attitude of being a taker by focusing on his own interests. Now, many times in family relationships, the elder person, the elder brother or sister or whatever it may be, elder uncle, aunt, cousin, whatever it may be, lots of times the elder has the upper hand on things, and lots of times it is deferred to that person first. Well, Lot doesn't take that. He doesn't take that privilege. He says, Lot, I tell you what, you choose. And the scripture says in chapter 13, verses 8 through 13, that Lot looked up and he saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. Now, I believe that Lot probably could have resolved the issues with his uncle. I think that he could have made peace. He had authority over those herdsmen who worked for him. He could have fired those who were continually causing conflict. I think because of ego, and I think of the pride, and because of selfishness, I think those were at the heart of Lot himself. And he made the choice to become independent and to strike out on his own. He chose increase. He chose wealth. He chose his own interest over relationship. Now, I want you to hear that. He chose his own interest, what is in it for him, what is better for him, over relationship. Now, you probably have seen the same things, and I know this has been my observation between givers and takers as well. Givers, they tend to be taken advantage of, they tend to be used, and they tend to get hurt by other people. Now, takers, they tend to use people, they tend to ruin relationships, and they tend, on the surface, to get ahead, it seems like. But I want you to understand that Abraham chose to be a giver rather than a taker. And I believe that we will see he is more blessed than what Lot will come out with him. The second point I want to bring to your attention is that takers often compromise their values and they make poor choices in order to gain more for themselves. Whereas givers, they choose to keep their values. They tend to make better choices while being other people-centered. When you look in Genesis chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, Lot, he makes a bad choice to become independent. He chose to focus on his own interests and not on relationship. And then Lot continues to make further bad choices to live near Sodom. Because you'll find in chapter 19 of Genesis, the scripture says that Lot is seated at the gate, which refers to that he has become an official in that city. Now, when you look in 2 Peter chapter 2, if you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, there is a New Testament insight into Lot. Look at verse 7. I'll start with verse 6. It says, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. That word tormented also means irritated, it means annoyed, it means frustrated. Think about it. Day after day, living in that city, being tormented by what he saw and what he heard. Now, Lot compromised his values to get ahead, and he's out just looking for himself, his own interests. Now, Abraham, he chose not to be a taker, and so we can see that in chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. I'll talk a little bit more about certain words in that verse. The third point that I want to bring before you is that takers tend to reap what they have sown. Usually they sow selfishness, and that, of course, results in less blessing, as we looked at when Jesus says. Givers tend to reap what they have sown. Giving usually results in blessing, more blessing. Now, when we look at Lot, what did Lot reap as a result of sowing selfishness, of sowing, you know, what's in it for him, what he can get out of it, his own interests? Well, according to Jesus in Acts chapter 20, when he said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, he became less blessed in his life. We also can see that he lost a certain degree of relationship with his uncle Abraham. You know, it's interesting that once there is a break in a relationship, especially a family relationship, especially when it's over conflict, that sometimes you're able to mend it back, but sometimes it's never the same. Through compromise, he lessened his values. He had less peace in his life. We can see that from the New Testament insight into Lot. Because of his choice of being a taker and a taker and a taker, he ended up in Sodom. And the scripture says he was tormented day after day. He had less peace in his life. In Genesis chapter 14, he was captured because he found himself in the middle of a territorial war And his city was overtaken, and he was taken captive. In Genesis chapter 19, or we can read where when it comes to the Lord destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot ended up losing his home. He lost all his property. He lost his wife. And basically ended up having incest with his two daughters. Lot reaped one disaster after another, one bad choice after another. In the end, Lot was less blessed in his life, and he ended up with nothing. Now we look at Abraham. Abraham became more blessed by God as he continued to give. Remember, he gave the first choice to Lot. He gave of his time and his money to rescue Lot when he was captured. Abraham chose in chapter 13 and verse 18, and it says that he moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron. Now the word Mamre, it means fatness or blessing. And the word Hebron means fellowship. He chose to be blessed by God. He chose to have relationship and intimacy and fellowship with God over material blessings, over his own interests. When you look in Genesis chapter 14, when he rescues Lot, I'm going to read for you, starting from verse 16. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley. That's why that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me." You know, here we have Abram again, not looking at his interest, because you think about it, he had defeated five kings. And he was able to get all the spoils of it. And he could have said, "You know what? This is mine. I'm taking all of this." And he could have even taken the cities over if he wanted to. Again, he was not looking after his own interest. He looked after the interest of Lot. And then when the king of Sodom came out, he said, "Look, I tell you what. You can keep all the goods, everything, but give me the people." Abram said, "You know what? I ain't taking a nickel from you. You can have everything except whatever my men, whatever is theirs." He was blessed by Melchizedek, who, as we know, is a type of Christ. You know, when I look at this whole story, you and I bet at one time or another in our lives, you and I have experienced takers. You and I have had people who have taken from us and taken from us and taken from us. You and I have had people who have given nothing to us, given nothing but only want something from us. You know, after a while of experiencing being taken advantage of, you can harden your heart. You can say, you know what? I'm tired of people treating me that way. I give, but I get nothing back. And you can harden your heart. And you can say, you know, I'm tired of being hurt. I'm tired of being taken advantage of. And you know what? I ain't gonna do anything for anybody anymore. And you can do that. And it seems that people who are takers, like it doesn't faze them at all. They just move on to other people and take from them. And then when that's over, they go on to somebody else and take from them. They just go on and on and on as takers. And I know that you and I, we can get that kind of an attitude and say, you know what? The heck with people. I'm just going to just take care of myself. Now, I'm not saying that for you and I to become where people can walk all over us. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying where you are to be taken advantage of. But I know that the scripture is true of what Jesus says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, I have a sister who says, if I see a $20 bill on the ground, that's mine. And God blessed me with that. Or if something turns out in a bill and whatever, and they make a mistake and it's to their advantage, you know what that means, right? God blessed me. But the scripture is very clear. It says people are more blessed. Now, yes, I'm not saying that it is a blessing to get something, because all of us have had that experience where somebody gave us something and we liked it, right? We enjoyed it. But the scripture is very clear. It says people who are, that's blessing. Yeah, okay, that's good. But you know what? It's more blessing to give. Now, givers understand that. Because it is in their heart, it is in their nature to be kind to people. It is in their nature to be giving to people. And when they get hurt, and when they take advantage of, they may withdraw for a while. But you know, they're not happy with themselves when they close up or they shut off. Because they know that that's not them. And they know that that's not who they are and the way that they're supposed to be. So they'll open up again and begin to give. And they'll go through all through life giving, being taken advantage of, hurt, withdrawing, and then opening up again and giving. And I think that you and I need to come to a place and we realize, you know, yeah, I mean, you need to discern people. You need to discern whether they're just out to get from you or whether, you know, they really need some help. And I'm asking you to take a look at that scripture and decide today whether you're going to be a giver or whether maybe you need to start reversing about being a taker. You and I both know And we have all experience, whether it be a friend, whether it be a family member, whether it's a coworker, when we experience takers, we want to distance ourselves from them, right? We don't have anything to do with them because we know that they're takers. And it causes more problems when it's in the family. And that's what we see going on with Abraham and Lot. This giving and taking. Giving and taking. You see, Lot looked after himself. He looked after his own needs, his own interests. And that's all he did all throughout his life. When we look at Abraham, he was a giver. He kept giving, he kept giving, he kept giving. He was continually being blessed, where Lot was being less blessed and less blessed and less blessed in his life. I'm going to ask that you would stand to your feet. We're going to continue to look at the life of Abraham. I think there's some real significant lessons that you and I can learn from of events that happened thousands of years ago, but it is still relevant today. I'm going to ask that you lift your hands towards heaven and receive the blessing today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all said, Amen.